Last week we started Siman. We got to the middle of Siman Reish Ayin Tes. Reish Ayin Tes is about Muktzah. So we gave a bit of an introduction regarding what Muktzah is all about. Muktzah letiltul, not to handle Muktzah, is l'chol ha'deis only midirabon. That was never a machloikis. Muktzah l'achila is the machloikis, Rashi and all the other Rishonim. Rashi holds Muktzah l'achila is a din d'araisa, and Tosfos that all the muktzah l'achila is only the rabban. And there is a Gemara in Psochim, after the, there's a sugi in Psochim around Daf Mem Zayin, Mem Ches, about using muktzah, let's say, muktzah dika wine, to use it for nisach hayayin, al gabi hamizbeach. So, where it's being consumed, you're not eating it, but it's being consumed. So that was a machlokes in the Gemara, and the Gemara came whether that's the Raisa, the Rabbanon. The Gemara originally thought that it's the Raisa, and the Gemara backs out and says that it's only with the Rabbanon. So Rashi's opinion is that that's Hanoshal Kiloi is only with the Rabbanon, but Muktzah L'Achila is the Raisa. And all the other Rishonim say, no, the Gemara backed out from everything. There's no Muktzah that's the Raisa. But Muktzah L'Tiltol, that was never a machlokes. Muktzah L'Tiltol is B'Ferish and the Gemara, it's a Gzeirish and Mayotzi. They really wanted to prohibit handling anything and everything. If you're allowed to handle things within the house, move a table, a chair, a fork, a knife, anything you're going to move, you may forget and carry it out into the street. But that would make life impossible. So they only made the gzera derabbanon on things that you don't need anyway. If something is a piece of junk, and how do you decide? Eitz ma'bon is offer is junk. How do the chachamim decide what's junk, what's not junk? So they called the tikkun rabbanon came there. I said tikkun. So they patterned it after the dinim of Kabbalah's Tumah. That's the Gemara, the first daf in Perikol HaKelim. The second daf, it's the first Amud Aleph. Perikol HaKelim begins on an Amud base, and this is the next Amud. The first Amud Aleph in Perikol HaKelim, the Gemara is very clear that the laws of Muktzah were patterned after the dinim of Kabbalah's Tumah. So Kabbalah's Tumah, we spoke about it last week. There are four categories of things that are Makabal Tumah. That's the Gemara, the first daf in Bava Kamma, Beisam and Aleph. The four categories of things that are Makabal Tumah are the Mekelim, Ochlim, and Mashkim. So whatever doesn't fall under any of those four categories is considered junk. That's why it's not Makabal Tumah. So if you have Beitzim, Abana, Biofar, that's Muktzah, Machmas, Gufay. All the Tanoim agree to that. The Gemara says in Beitza, and in Shabbos, the Gemara keeps on repeating every 15 blot, the Gemara comes back to it again, that there's a machlokes of Yehuda Reb Shimon, whether there's a din of Muktzah or not. So it doesn't mean there's machlokes whether there's an institution of Muktzah. All the Tanoim agree there is a din of Muktzah that's tiltul. If you have Beitza Ma'bona, you offer that, they all agree. The machlokes of Tanoim is details within Hilchos Muktzah. So take, for example, the Gemara has in the first perek in Masechet Shabbos, a person has his apartment adjacent to his grocery store. Fella has a grocery store, and the grocery store is adjacent to his apartment. And he runs out of food on Shabbos. He's going to go into his grocery store to take some of the food and eat it. You have Tamri Le'iska, you have Tamorim that are Aymed Le'iska. It's in his store, and he plans to sell it. The Farish didn't plan to eat it on Shabbos. Or let's say another example. One of the children is having a birthday party on Sunday, so they bought a container of ice cream. The container of ice cream is in the freezer, and everybody knows that it's for Sunday, it's not for Shabbos. And then in the middle of Shabbos, they change their mind, and they decide that they want to eat the ice cream today, and they'll have something else tomorrow for the birthday party. So since they set it aside not to be eaten today, but rather to be eaten some other time, or let's say you have very expensive hand shmura that cost $25 a pound, whatever they fantastic glatt kosher prices, and it's before Pesach, it's Shabbos HaGadol, you're still eating chametz, but you have the Farish in mind not to eat these matzahs. These are so expensive, you're not going to eat them. So those cases, Tamri Le'ita, Tamre Le'iska, Tamorim, that you have in the store, that are Eimed L'Mechira, and then all the food in your apartment, that's Eimed L'Achila. But the food in the store is Eimed Le'iska, you're going to sell it. Or you have Chitim La'Oitzer. He has a warehouse. He has chitin piled up there so much. He doesn't have it in his apartment. He has it in a noitzer, in the middle of Shabbos, in the middle of Yontif. He decides he wants to eat some of the chitim, and he goes wants to take it. So that's the original machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whether there's a din of muktzah or not. Or take, for example, another case, muktzah machmas mius. In the days of the Gemara, muktzah, the Shulchan Aruch quotes that in this, muktzah machmas mius is, for example, like this. In the days of the Gemara, they used to light the... They didn't usually use wax candles. They had wax candles, but it's not as common as today. They used to use oil and a wick. So if they would use a kli cheres to light the wick, the oil would smear up such a sloppy mess on the kli cheres that it wouldn't pay to reuse the klicheres. So they would throw it out after once using it once. The whole klicheres probably cost 10 cents, and they're gonna spend half an hour to get all the gook and all of the soot off of the kli, and they're gonna get their fingers all greasy and gonna get it all over their clothing, all over the sink, so it doesn't pay. But yes, a mashal would be, let's say you have disposable cups, paper cups, or you have plastic cups. And so in the middle of the meal, a person will use the cup and reuse the cup and reuse the cup. They fill the cup up many times. But after the meal is over, we usually don't save the cups. If you want to, you can rinse out the cup and it'll be clean. And then you can reuse it until it gets a hole. But the minhag olam is that it doesn't pay. Because each paper cup probably costs a penny or two. You buy in bulk. So it cost a penny or two, and it's kaptzonish. Most people who can afford it will not wash out the cup. They'll throw it out in the garbage, and then it's a disposable cup. They're not going to reuse it. So if you threw out, let's say you finished eating, say you threw out the bones in the garbage, you threw out whatever. Let's say you ate the banana, you threw out the banana peel, you had an egg, a hard-boiled egg, you threw out the eggshell in the garbage. This is all the muktzah, it's junk. It's not Michael Adam, it's not Michael Behemoth. Maybe there are behemoths who eat banana peels, but they're in the zoo. I don't live near the zoo. If you have, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, even if in your building, nobody has, let's say you live in an apartment building, even if your building, nobody has a dog, but in the neighborhood, there's always going to be someone. A neighbor is, because someone's going to have a dog, and the dogs eat the bones. So even if you don't have any dogs, even if your whole apartment building with 100 tenants, nobody has a dog, but chicken bones are considered machal behemah because there are always dogs available. Dogs or kittens, if it's a common or chreis, canaries, whatever, or fish, there's always someone in the building has a big fish tank. So whatever is machal for the little fish, whatever is machal for the dogs, that's called machal behemah. But if it's only a machal behemah for some exotic animals in the zoo, and you don't live near the zoo, then it's considered a piece of junk. Then it's not considered. Michael behave. So mukta machmas miyus is also a machlokes Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon. We paskan like Reb Shimon that there's no din of mukta. What do you mean there's no din? There is, of course, there's a din of mukta. The Gemara presents it. Reb Shimon leislay mukta. Reb Yehuda islay mukta. That's how the Gemara. What exactly is the machlokes Reb Yehuda Reb Shimon? It's very unclear. Chazanish works very hard on this to try to explain what's the tzara shava. How do all of the cases that the Gemara has, how does everything fit in? That is one big machlek sabir rebshim. Rav Soloveitchik gave what I thought was a fantastic explanation on the machlek sabir rebshim. And one of the Talmidim pointed out, Rav Soloveitchik did not mention it, one of the Talmidim pointed out that the whole pshat is practically explicit in the she'iltas. The She'iltas a lot of times takes a din from the Gemara, and he presents it as if there's a Shaila, She'iltas, a question was raised, is it A or B? And he explains A, explains B, and then he quotes a din in the Gemara, even though the Gemara doesn't present it as a Shaila. Gemara just has a din, so the She'iltas were presented as if there was a Shaila, and this is the answer. So the She'iltas quotes a Gemara in Beit, so, but the Gemara says, let's say I have grapes, and I put the grapes on the rooftop in the summertime when the sun beats down, and I want them to sit on the roof long enough till they turn into raisins. So people enjoy eating grapes and people enjoy eating raisins, but if it's in between, it's neither here nor there. It's not a grape and it's not a raisin. So the Gemara says, "Iki inshi dachli, iki inshi delachli." Some people wouldn't eat it at all, and some people would eat it. So whenever you have something that's borderline, let's say begotten, sometimes you have an old suit and it's worn out and torn. So a wealthy person will throw the suit out. He's not going to wear it. He'll throw it out in the garbage. So if it's b'deis ashirim, a tzaddis and a beged ashmata is a shmata. So it says it's not a beged, it's not a kli, and it's going to be muktzah. It's a piece of junk. If it's b'deis aniyim, so then the ani is probably not going to throw it out. He's not going to throw it. He's going to keep it. Well, let's say you put the grapes on top of the roof that the sun should beat down. They should become raisins. And then when it's in between, it may reach a stage, may reach a point that many people will not enjoy it because it's neither grapes nor raisins, neither here nor there. So a lot of people will not enjoy it. Other people would eat it then. So then if it's a borderline food or it's a borderline clea, a borderline beged, wealthy people, let's say that by the beged, wealthy people will throw it out. They'll consider it a shmata. And poor people will still consider it as a beged. So then the Gemara says it depends whether it's b'beis shalanim or b'beis shalashim to determine whether it's muktzah or not. So the Gemara has the following statement. On the end of Beitz and the Lam, it says the following statement. I left the grapes on the rooftop on Thursday morning. On Erev Shabbos, I didn't take a look at the grapes yet to see whether they already turned into raisins or they're in between. In between, I don't enjoy. So if it's in between and I'm the balabos, it's a borderline Michael. Ikin shidachli, ikin shidaloyachli. The Gemara says, so then I would not enjoy it. So as far as I'm concerned, that would be muktzah. It's not called oichel. I'm not going to feed it to the dogs. It's expensive stuff. I'll wait till it dries out and turns into raisins. I'll eat it myself. So what happens? Erev Shabbos, I didn't check. But then in the middle of Shabbos, I see, let's say late Friday night or early Shabbos morning, I see, wow, it for sure it already turned into raisins before we benchlich, before we on Mekabel Shabbos. I just didn't check. I didn't know. So the Shiltas presents this as, the Gemara said that it's not muktzah. Mar said that it's not muktzah. If you have food on the rooftop and you wanted it to dry, you have the grapes on the rooftop, you want to dry out to become raisins, and you didn't realize in the middle of Shabbos that when Shabbos began, it was already not muktzah. It was already roi lachila. So the Gemara said that it's not muktzah. So the Shiltas presents it as a shayla. Should I say, these are the two tzadim that the Shiltas present. This Harav Soloveitchik said, these two tzadim, this is exactly the Nekudas HaMachloikis between Abiyud and Rebshin, that the din of Muktzah is learned that from the Pasuk, Muktzah Lachila, let's say. Muktzah Lachila, according to Rashi, it's a real din deraisis, it's a real Yalfusa, and according to the other Mishan, it's only an Asmach. So the Pasuk says the mon is going to fall down every day, and on Shabbos the mon is not going to fall down. So a double portion, Lechem Mishnah, will fall down on Friday, and everyone should prepare the food for Shabbos. Ve'echinu, Esa Sheyaviv. So the Pasuk implies that the mon didn't fall down neither on Shabbos nor on Yontif, because Suda Shabbos needs Hachana, and Hachana means Bimbod Yom. Chol mech on the Shabbos, Chol mech on the Yontif, Ve'ein Shabbos mech on the Yontif, Ve'ein Yontif mech on the Shabbos. That's the first daf in Beit Zedek. The Gemara calls Hachana de Rabba. Rabba's Pasuk. According to Rashi, it's a real din deraisa. Muktzah is a real din deraisa, and according to Taisus and all the other Rishonim, it's only an asmachta and the Rabban. So the Pasuk said, you need hachana. So the Shiltas presents it as follows. The Yid hachana ha-bailim, the bailim have to be making it in advance. So if they were not aware on Erev Shabbos, that an hachana has to be bechina, so she'bir chol mechana Shabbos. You have to make the hachana on chol, on Erev Shabbos. On Erev Shabbos, I wasn't aware that it already had become raisins. I thought it was still in the in-between stage, that I would not enjoy eating, so it's not oichel. Then in the middle of Shabbos, I realized that it was already raisins before Shabbos began. So the Shlutas presents it. Do you say that all Eichlim and Kalim need Hachanas Abaylim? And since he wasn't aware on Erev Shabbos, then he never did Hachana. Or would you say, no, that all Eichlim and Kalim are Mucham Me'aleim? Eichlim and Kli is Mucham Me'aleim. When do you need Hachanas Abaylim? If it's a borderline Kli or a borderline Michael that some people would throw in the garbage, a torn up suit, torn up pair of pants, a poor person will save it. And a wealthy person will throw it out in the garbage. A shmata, he's not going to save it. Or if you have a borderline oichel, some people would eat, some people wouldn't eat. So then you need achonis abaylim. Because if the balim are not mechan, then I say it's muktzim. That's how the Shultis presents it. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik thought was the machlokes between Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon. If you have chitim, leoitzer, tamir, leiska, all the food in the house, the balabasta or the husband and the wife, they don't have to have explicitly a mind on Erev Shabbos, I may want to eat, you're not going to eat everything in the house. He doesn't have to have a mind, no one has to have a mind, I may want to eat any of the food that's in the house. That's an umdel de muchach. If you'll ask him, it's an umdel de muchach, if you would ask the balabas on Erev Shabbos, do you think he may want to eat the cookies, do you think he may want to eat the gumdrops or the candy, that? They'll say, yes, everything in the house. They may decide to eat it on Shabbos. If you have the ice cream in the freezer for the birthday party, that's an umdel and muchat that they don't plan to eat it on Shabbos. So there, if you say, all oichel and kelim ma mucha me'al ayem, so it's a mucha me'elam. But if you say, need achanas habaylim, then that's going to be muktzah. Or let's say, my grocery store is adjacent to my apartment, and the food that I eat is always in the apartment. If I run out of food, I'll go into the shop and take some of the things that are labeled for sale. It says how much it costs on the package. That's under the mechira. So he, if he runs out of food, he'll go into the shop. But that's there's no umdin in the muchach on Erev Shabbos unless he's megala das b'feirish. Then he may want to eat some of the food that's in the grocery store that belongs to him. So that's the machlekes Rabbi Yehuda Rav Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you need hachanas abaylim. So the chitim la'otzer and tamir le'iska would be mukta because it's in a, or the ice cream in the freezer or the mukta machmas mius. I ate on Friday morning and I had a cup of milk or I had a cup of a soda and I threw the plastic cup in the garbage. Then on Shabbos, I see I ran out of cups. I want to go to the garbage bin, take out one of the cups, wash it out well, and I want to use it on Shabbos. Yeah, but it's an umder de muchach that he didn't plant. He threw it in the garbage already. So that's called muktzimachmas chisar. That's called muktzimachmas miyus. It's a piece of junk, and he threw it out. Like in the days of the Gemara, if you have a ner shel cheres, and you lit an oil, it's going to get so greasy and sticky and black. So it doesn't pay to reuse it, so they're going to throw it in the garbage. It's not worth it. For a quarter, he'll buy himself another kli shel cheres. He's not going to wash this one out. It doesn't pay. It'll take too long to clean it out. So that's the fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda Rav Shimon. They need achanas habaylim. They say that all oichlim mekelim amuchan me'aleihim. So the Gemara has what's also machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Rav Shimon. I bet shlicht on Erev Shabbos, and let's say I have oil. In the days of the Tanai, most of the people didn't use candles, wax candles. Most of them used oil with a wick. So we spoke last week. The Gemara said, "Hanach leave alone ner shemen epsila." Since the flame doesn't have ishtamshes beguf hadomer on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you can light another candle from an already existing flame. So the flame has a ishtamshes beguf hadomer. On Shabbos, you can only use the light that comes out from the flame and the warmth, the heat that comes out, but you can't use the actual flame itself. Ishtamshes means to use the actual thing. So you can't use the flame. It'll be a violation of Havara. So on Shabbos, the flame is mukta. So therefore, the psila, the wick, and the oil, and the cup, the container, all becomes a basis davros. That's how anach l'ner shem l'psila. All benas a basis davros. But I know, based on how much oil I put into the container, I know it's not going to burn for 24 hours, not a chance. It's going to burn, let's say you buy a candle, the candles go out after 5-6 hours, candle is going to go out. The candle is going to go out, you probably won't have anything left. But when the flame goes out on the wick, most of the time you have leftover oil. Most of the time you have Moshe Shemesh in there every week. So what's the din? It was booked to Ben Hashmashis. Is there a din bigadus katsoy to Ben Hashmashis? It's katsoy to Kuli. Is there such a din that whatever was booked to Ben Hashmashis should remain the rest of the day? So the Gemara says that depends on the machlekes, Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon. According to Reb Shimon, that you need hachanas. According to Reb Shimon, that you say all oichel in kelim amucham ne'aleihem. So the oil is oichel. The leftover oil, whatever wasn't burnt in the wick, so the leftover oil may decide to take, after the flame goes out, may decide to take the oil and mix it in a vegetable salad. It's oichel. So if you say that all oichelim and all kelim amucham ne'aleihem, even if there's no umdir in the muchach that you plant, all the food in the house is umdir in the muchach that you don't have to ask, you don't have to say explicitly, I plan to use it. So umdir in the muchach, any ochlam or kelim in the house you plan to use. Let's say another example, I have Pesach digger dishes. So I've come to digger dishes, I have Pesach digger dishes. And the Pesach digger dishes, if you, and any other yontif or any other Shabbos, not Pesach, to Umdir in the Muchach, he does not plan to use it. He's going to use it on a regular Shabbos Yantar. He's going to make a chametzik. So then he's going to have to buy himself a new set of Pesach Digadish. It's going to cost him a fortune of money. So in the middle of Shabbos, he finds out, he was never so thrilled about the Pesach Digadish. It wasn't so pretty, but he couldn't afford to buy a fancier set. In the middle of Shabbos, he finds out that he won the Irish sweepstakes. And the wife decided the first thing she's going to do with the newly found money, she's going to buy a new set of Pesach Digger dishes. In the middle of Shabbos, they decide they want to use the Pesach Digger dishes for chametz, and then they're going to buy a new set before Pesach. So would you say the Pesach Digger dishes are muktzah? So the Pashta Sinding Marsha, the pound of the Machlekes Reb Yehuda Reb Shimon. According to Reb Yehuda, that you need achanas abaylam, the way the Shiltas didn't say that this is the Nekudas HaMachlekes to Reb Yehuda Reb Shimon. That's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested. He explained how everything fits in. The Shulta is presented as if this was the Gemara's suffix. And the Gemara said the din, that if I left the grapes on the rooftop, that they should dry up and turn into raisins. And I wasn't even aware that before Shabbos began, it had already become raisins. And I find out in the middle of Shabbos, it'll be a blood mill. So my parent already was raisins before he benched it. So the Gemara says it's not muktzah. So the Shiltas presents it, that was the Shaila. And Nigmar came to the Maskana that it's Muhammad Elof, so Rav Soloveitchik thought that depends on the Machlekes. That's exactly in the Machlekes of Yehuda Reb Shimon. And the Maskana Sagmar that it's not Muktzeh is because we Paskan like Reb Shimon, that all Echle Mekelem are Muhammad Aleim. That was exactly the Gemara. So the Gemara says, what's the din of Moshe Shemesh Abinair? The leftover oil. Is there a din of Migadis Katzoy? So the Gemara originally says that it depends on Machlekes Reb Yehuda Reb Shimon. According to Reb Yehuda, that you need Hachanas Abaylim. So Ben Hashmashes, the thing is, Bas is a Dabar Ha'asim. Hanach L'Ner Shemin Ha'Psila Ha'al Ben Asad, the flame is burning, Ben Hashmashes. So Ben Hashmashes, the thing is Muktzah. So how can you say, I know that the flame is going to go out in 5-6 hours, and if it goes out, then I'll be able to use the Moshe Shemesh Abinair to mix it in with a vegetable salad, that it should be tastier. So, but according to Reb Yehuda, that you need achanas habaylim, so, since it's muktzah ben hashmashes, it's like you're not a baylim. You're not a balabas, you have no right. The thing is muktzah now, so you don't have a right to be making it. But if the din would be like Reb Shimon, that all echam akelim amuchem me'aleim, so right now, taka, it's muktzah because it's buses. But since there's a foreseeable time from the perspective of Ben Hashmashes, I know that another 5-6 hours the flame is going to go out. There's going to be leftover oil. Every week the same thing happens. The flame always goes out after 6 hours. There's always leftover oil. So that leftover oil is mucha me'el of abu li'achazman. Right now it is muktzah. But right now, Ben Hashmashes, I know that there's going to be leftover in 6 hours. So it's mucha me'el of abu li'achazman. So the Gemara said, this machlokes of Reb Shimon, whether Moshe Shemesh Abinair is muktzah not, is only if you lit a candle that's expected to go out, and you lit a flame a wick and oil that's normally burns for 5-6 hours is going to go out, there's going to be left over. What if the person lit kos kaira v'ashoshes? The Gemara quotes a price. Kos kaira v'ashoshes is like a yahrzeit candle that burns for more than 24 hours. He lit the balabos, let's say, benches licht on candles or oil with a wick, that we expect that it should last for all of Shabbos. So that from the perspective of Ben Hashmashes, the bizna foreseeable achazman, that it should be mucham ne'el of avu le'achazman. So then the Gemara says, even Reb Shimon would agree that the Moshe Shemesh Abinair will be mukta, because you can't say it's mucham ne'el of avu le'achazman. There is no foreseeable achazman. From the perspective of Ben Hashmash, it doesn't look like it's going to go out on Shabbos. It's going to go out in 36 hours, 24 hours. Now they have yahrzeit candles that burn for a day, it burn for 2 days, burn for 3 days. Because a lot of people don't want to light the minig. Minig used to be, the kids who Shulchan Aruch, the minig used to be that the day on which one recites Yisker, so you light candles, Nisham Kibarab. So the kids who Shulchan Aruch thinks that that's a Havor Shalol Tzorech. Keep it up, while the parents are alive, you should show keep it up. Not after they die, you should light a candle on their yahrzeit. So it's a shvach ha'maisa to keep it up. So he thinks that that's havar is a malacha. Havar is one of the lamed hesavos malachas, and it's aser on Shabbos and it's aser on Yontif. To do havara on Yontif, the tzorach ha'chol nefesh or the tzorach ha'yom k'tas, that's mutter. That's the question. Is this called the tzorach ha'yom k'tas? It's not tzorach ha'chol nefesh. Person wants to light a yahrzeit candle because he plants it say Yiska. And Chutz Lord's meaning is we say Yiska on the Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golis on the last day. So is that called the Tzorach Yom Tzas? And so the kids, the author of the kids, Shulchan Aruch, is not happy about that. He thinks that it's called Shelo the Tzorach Klal. So that's why now some of the candle companies sell candles that burn for 48 hours. They sell candles that burn for 24 hours when a person has yahrzeit, so he lights it before the Shkia, and it burns for a little over 24 hours. But if there's 2 days Yontif in a row, and he's going to say Yiska on the second day, and he's machma like the kids of Shulchan Aruch, that you're not allowed to light the candles on Yontif Sheni, so you have to light it before, so you have to have a candle that's going to burn for 2 days. Or sometimes you have 3 days Yontif in a row, you have Shabbos, and then 2 days Yontif, you're going to say Yiska on the third day. On the second day of Yontif, it's going to be the third day in a row. So you have to light the candle, the Artsai candle has to be Roy to burn for 2.5 days, for 3 days, and you're going to light it before Shabbos, and it's going to burn till after 3 days. Now that's why now, because the people are more medactic and mitzvah, so they realize that the kids who Shulchan Aruch is not happy, also this is called Havor Shelo Letzarech Klal. So that's why they manufacture these candles that burn for a full 2 days or for a full 3 days. So it'll be burning on a day that you want to say Yiska. So the Gemara says, if you have kos kaira v'ashoshes, a candle that looks like it's going to burn the whole 24 hours of Shabbos or Yom Tov. So from the perspective of Ben Hashmashes, you can't say that it's muchan avur li'achazman. It's muchan me'el of avur. From the perspective of Ben Hashmash, it doesn't look like there is going to be any lachazman. It looks like it's going to burn all day long. And then it happens that it blows out accidentally, the candle goes out in the middle of Shabbos. That even Reb Yudah, even Reb Shimon will agree that you do say Nigar is Katsoy. Because you can't say it wasn't Huchan. It had no Hachana. The Oichel, the Shemin in the candle, it had no Hachana. Because there was no foreseeable lachazman. But if it's not kos kaira v'ashoshes, you lit Moshe Shemesh Abinei, you lit a normal amount of oil with a wick, and every week when you light the Neri Shabbos, there's always leftover oil. So according to Reb Yudah, that you need achanos habaylam, so Ben Hashmashes is muktzah, so he's not a balabas, he's not a bailaman, he can't use it Ben Hashmashes. He's prevented from handling it. He can't do anything with it. So he's nishkan balam to be mechanic. But if you're all like Rab Shimon, that all Oichel Mekelem Amucha Me'aleim, then since it's Omeid from Ben Hashmashes, it's already Omeid that the flame is going to go out in 6 hours, so there is going to be a foreseeable Achazman, so it's Mucha Me'aleim Aburli Achazman. Yeah. So last week we said the din is, we don't paskan like that, even though the Gemara makes this L'shita Osei. The Gemara says we paskan like Rab Shimon, we don't paskan like Rab Yudah, so Muktzim Achmas Mius doesn't exist. And just like the ice cream in the freezer on Shabbos for the birthday party on Sunday, Rabbi Yehuda would say that it's muktzeh. We don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Even though it's a number in the Mukhaf that they don't plan to eat it on Shabbos, they plan to eat it on the birthday party on Sunday. But it's Mukha Me'elov, Abu, it's Mukha Me'elov. All Echel Me'kelem, it's Mukha Me'elem. And the same thing with Pesach, the Gedishas also, it's Mukha Me'elem, it's regular Kelem. And if you have, even if you have a Mukhtz Machmas Miyus, I threw the disposable cups in the garbage. It's a perfect kli, but it's an umd in the mukha, but I don't plan to use it on Shamzion. So if your din would have been like Rabbi Yehuda, you would say that it's a mukta machmas mias is mukta. They clearly know hakonas up island, but we don't require, we pass like Rabbi Shimon, that all lacha mekelem on mukha me'alem. So it's mukha me'alem. So it's not going to be mukta. So it really should have followed, since the Gemara says we pass in halachic Rabbi Shimon, at least Shabbos. Yontav, there's a machloikis machaban ramah, whether based on the daf, the first daf in Beitza. The Gemara sounds like the simple reading of the Gemara. First daf in Beitza is that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi made it, the author, the one who edited them, not the author, the editor of the Mishnais. The Mishnais existed before the days of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Rabbi Hanasi edited the Mishnais. And the Pashto says they still used to recite the Mishnais Baal Peh. Even after Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi edited it, he edited what they should recite Baal Peh. It wasn't until the Pashto's was. What Rashi doesn't write like this, but this is what it says in the Gaonim's literature. The Mishnais were not written down till the days of Rabbi Nevrabashi. That's how most of the Achronim assume, and most of the history books assume like that. Rabbi Nanasi edited the Mishnais, but they were still recited about that. So the Gemara sounds like it says the first half in Beitza, based on the days, Rabbi Nanasi made a compromise, a chilek between Shabbos and Yom. On Shabbos, we passed like Rabbi Shimon, Lahokel, that there's no din of, you don't need Achonos Abaylan. And on Yontif, we're machmer like Rabbi Yehuda, that you do need Achonos Abaylan. So that's the Mechaber of Yosef Karo, Paskins like that, they're like the simple reading of the Gemara. But there are more for Ashkenazim, Paskins not so. That even on Yontif, we don't really Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. We pass like Abshim, both on Shabbos and Yontif. But the Gemara meant something else. Okay, but we'll learn Hilchos Yontif. We'll learn some more about Muktzeh. We'll have to discuss what exactly, what is the machlokes between the Mechaber and the Ramah regarding Muktzeh on Yontif. What did the Gemara say? Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi made a compromise. Yeah. The writer there on the bottom of the Rif, in the first page in Beitza, you have the writer printed. So the writer says Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi wrote the Mishnah in a misleading, he edited the Mishnayos in a misleading fashion to mislead people into thinking incorrectly that the din on Yontav is like Rabbi Yehuda. But it's not the din, both on Shabbos and Yontav is like Rabbi Shimon, that there's no din on Muktzeh. But he didn't correct the Mishnah, and he left it in such a way that let the people think that there's a Chumrah. They won't die. They won't die if they'll be Machmer. Why do they want to be machmer more on Yontav than on Shabbos? So the Gemara said, because on Shabbos everybody knows you're not allowed to do malach. On Yontav, the Sony malach is that a mutter, whatever's a chanevsh, it's a chayam, it's a mutter. So we hardly refrain from any malachas on Yontav. So we're afraid, since every other thing is mutter, we're afraid that people will violate a lot of dinim. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi felt you should be machmer more on Yontav. So that's how the Mechaber learned the Gemara like that. Then it's a simple reading of the Gemara. The Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi made a pshara that on Yontif we pass from like Rabbi Yehuda Lechumer, that there is a din of Muktzeh that you need Achanas Aban. So the Ravid says not that he passed from like that. He left the Mishnah in such an imprecise way as to mislead those as the Balabatim, the study Mishnayis, into thinking that there's supposed to be Machma on Yontif like Rabbi Yehuda. But really, those who know how to learn will know that it's not so. The din is like Rabbi Shimon, both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. And he wanted to mislead the public a little bit, let them be machma a little bit on Yom Tov, because they're a little too lax on Yom Tov. Okay. So again, so the Gemara area initially in this sugya is in Perek Kira. This is in the first Perek and in the second Perek and a lot. In the third Perek and in the home sits the Shabbos, the 24th Broken. The topic of Muktzeh comes up quite a few times. So the Gemara in many places says all the issues are talizabizeh, machlok sabir rebshim. When you get to the end of the Masechta, the very end of the Masechta, then the Gemara says we don't paskin everything like Reb Shimon. Migdus katzori paskin like Reb Yehuda. Moshe Shemesh Abiner, we should have really paskin like Reb Shimon, that the leftover oil should, I should not say Migadis Katzer, I should say the oil is Oichel, and Oichel is Mucham Me'ele Babu Le'achazman. And since Ben Ashmash is, I know it's going to, the flame is not going to burn the whole Shabbos, it's impossible, there isn't enough oil. And every week I know there's always a half an inch of oil left over. So it should be Mucham Me'ele, that is Ben Ashmash is Babu Le'achazman. So the Gemara, the only time we should be Machmer is if it's post Karev Ashoshes, if it's so much oil, it looks like it's going to burn for 24 hours, then there is no foreseeable achazman. We should have passed like Reb Shimon, because we do pass like Reb Shimon and everything else. So everything's lishitasai. So at the end of the Masechta, the Gemara makes a compromise. No, even though we pass like Reb Shimon, but this din we pass like Reb Yehuda. What kind of a din is that? The Muktzah L'Tiltel is only a din derabbanan. So Migadis Katzoy is a din the Rabbanan. Usually, very often, the Gemara has a call called the Tikkun Rabbanan King, the Reis of Tikkun. Most of the time, all the dinim the Rabbanan are patterned after dinim the Reis. Like we said, what is Muktzah? What's not Muktzah? So there are four categories, or the Mekelem, Ochlem, and Mashkim, whatever doesn't fit into any one of those four categories, a piece of junk, Eitz Marbanan, the offer, so that there's no, they're not inconveniencing us. If they tell us we can't handle that, because it's junk anyway, so nothing is lost. So the Gemara says, that's what the Gemara we mentioned from the beginning of Kol HaKelim, that the whole institution of Muktzah is patterned after the dinim of Kabbalah Stuma. So the Maharam Rutenberg has a machlokes, the Rush was a Talmud of the Maharam Rutenberg. The Rosh and the Maharam, that was the end of the Tkufa of the Bali Ates, who went on for many generations. So the Maharam Gutenberg is of the opinion that this din, the Migadis Katzoy, the Ben Ashmashes, it works in both directions. If the Gemara, we mentioned last week, if a person is poor, and he has this old suit that he always wears, and it's torn over here, torn over there, but he has no choice. He has to live with it. Then in the middle of Shabbos, he finds out that he just won $1 million. So in the middle of Shabbos, he decides he's not going to wear that suit. He throws it in the garbage, together with the chicken bones, together with the fish bones, throws it into the garbage. So the Gemara says, Shabbos hol b'hutra hutra, since in the beginning of Shabbos, it was that muktzah, and it didn't change. If you had a glass bottle and it smashes in the middle of Shabbos, so then it becomes muktzah. It became a piece of junk. But here is the exact same suit. Nothing changed. Nothing in the suit changed. He just became a millionaire. So he's not going to wear these tzeris and the begodim anymore. So he's not going to wear it. So he throws it in the garbage already. Before he buys his new suit, throws it in the garbage. So the Gemara says, since nothing changed in the beggar, I say Shabbos hol b'hutra hutra, since in the beginning of Shabbos it was not muktzah, it doesn't become muktzah in the middle of Shabbos. Or the Gemara has, let's say, you need an Eruv HaTzeris. In our Torah, let's say, all the 100 tenants who live in an apartment building, the whole big apartment building is one big Rishus HaYach, and there are walls around the whole building, so everything is one big Rishus HaYach. So a lot of carry from one apartment to the other in our Torah. And the Gemara says, in the beginning of the second Perek in Eret, and the Shlomo HaMelech was Mesakan Eruv HaTzeris, that you shouldn't be allowed to carry from an apartment into the hallway, or the hallway into the apartment, from one apartment to the other, unless you put away a box of matzah, a box of challahs, that they all participated in collecting all the challah. Have to have an eruv chatzeris. So that's a gzeir derabban. So the eruv chatzeris is kind of bein hashmashin, so that's a person wants to go chutz l'tchum, he has to make a eruv tchumen. So the eruv tchumen has to be present Ben Ashmashes. If the Eruv Tchumen is there, Ben Ashmashes, even if it's Nechal afterwards, it's still, once you kind of Shvisa with the Eruv Tchumen, then you can go Chutz Tchum, you can go another Abai Mama. Or let's say the building, the apartment building, once you had the Eruv Chatzeris present in Ben Ashmashes, so then even if it's eaten up later on, you can still carry the whole Shabbos. That's it, then Shabbos, Hol B'Hutra Hutra. So the Maram Rutberg is of the opinion that this is also called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein, the Rabbi Yisrael Tikkun. These dinim, Migadis Katzoy Leben Ashmashes is Katzoy Lekuliam, whatever is Muktzah Ben Ashmashes remains Muktzah. And Shabbos Hol B'Hutra Hutra, if it was not Muktzah Ben Ashmashes, then it can't become Muktzah in the middle of Shabbos, unless it rips, unless it breaks in the middle of Shabbos. But if the object didn't change, it's the exact same object, then you say Shabbos hol b'hutra hutra. The Maharam Rutman is of the opinion that this is rooted in a din deraisa. That the din deraisa is that ben hashmashas of tchila Shabbos is the oser of Shabbos. Maharam Rutman has the following discussion. This is the Rosh, the last page in the Rosh and Maseches Ma'id Katan. There is a machlekes in the Geonim. There is a din of chinuch, a child, a boy or a girl, before bar mitzvah, before bas mitzvah. So min ha-Torah, the parents have to be mechanach the child, and ma'atamas has b'neichem, you have to teach the children all the dinim. You know the child is not yet bar mitzvah, you have to tell him. You're still going to become bar mitzvah another 3, 4, 5 years, and after you've been bar mitzvah, you can't eat trefa food, and you can't do malachas on Shabbos, you can't do this, you can't do that. So min ha-Torah, that's the whole chinuch. Min the Rabbanan, you have to see to it, not only to educate him that even when you will become bar mitzvah, you have to observe the dinim, you have to see to it that he observes the dinim now, even before it becomes a bar mitzvah. So you have to observe, you have to see to it that the children observe all the dinim, their eyes, all the dinim, their rabbanon, all the minhagim. There's a din of chinuch on all the dinim in the Shulchan Aruch. What about chinuch on avelus? Let's say a relative died, and the child is before bar mitzvah. Is he obligated to observe, is there a din of chinuch on avelus? So there's a machlokes, in the days of the Goyim, there was a machlokes, and the Psak HaMekubal is that there's no chinuch on avelus. But Moshe Feinstein discusses why. Manishtana, they're from all the mitzvahs in the Torah, ongezetzt. They picked on chinuch, that there's no chinuch on avelus. Why not on avelus? So he has a whole discussion, but whatever the reason is, that's the din, bottom line. There's no, the Rishonim talk about it, never give an explanation. So Moshe quotes him, the Shagzai quotes other, he discusses what's the reason for that. But that's the din, there's no chinuch on avelus. So the Maharam Rutenberg has a discussion, and the Rosh disagrees with his Rebbe, with the Maharam Rutenberg. What's the din if the Chiyuv Avelus begins right after the Kvur? Stimus Agol means the Gemar HaKvur. So let's say at the time of the Gemar HaKvur, the child was a Kotten, he wasn't yet Bar Mitzvah, but he becomes Bar Mitzvah within 30 days. So there's a din in Avelus that if a person finds out about the death of a relative after 30 days after the relative died, that's called Shmur Rechoika. If he died, they didn't have telephones. So he doesn't find out right away. An hour after the relative died, they already called him up, they sent him an email, he already knows that the relative died. He didn't have emails, he doesn't find out till later. So if he finds out within 30 days, then he's obligated to observe Shiva Shloshim. Everybody of the whole family already observed Shiva Shloshim 3 weeks ago, 3 and a half, 4 weeks ago. It's on the 28th day, 29th day, that's Shmur Kareva. So they already finished with the Shiva, they almost finished with the Shloshim, he just found out. So he has to start observing Shiva and Shloshim now. He's going to end the Shloshim another 30 days. They will already be finished with Shloshim another 3, 4 days, they'll be finished. But if the person finds out about the death of the relative after 30 days went by, that's called Shmur Rechoika. There's a Machloika Satana, and he passed in Shmur Rechoika. And the Hegas, Elo Yom Echad Bilvad, one only observes Avelus for 1 day. And that 1 day, you can chisel it down and say, Mitzvah Hayom Kekulai. So if you just take off your shoes, you observe Avelus for half an hour, for 15 minutes, does it get up? And then the Shulchan Aruch writes, even though we usually wait till the morning of the 7th day or the morning of the 30th day to say Mitzvah Yom Kekulai, here if the person finds out 40 days after the death of a relative, after Shloshim, he finds out at night about the death of a relative, Shmur Rechoika, he finds out after 30 days, so the Mechaber writes that when Mekel, that you can say Mitzvah Yom Kekulai even Balayla. Usually it's a Machlokes HaRishonim. The Ramban and the Torah Sodom quotes a Machlokes based on Gemara's, how you interpret the Gemara's. What do you say? Mitzvah Yom Kekulai Balayla or not? By a Zovah, for sure you don't say Mitzvah Yom Kekulai Balayla. The Zovah cannot go to Mikveh the night of the 7th day. She has to at least wait till the morning, Menator. The Rabbanon, you can't go to Mikveh the morning either. But Menatoshi, you can say Mitzvah and Kukul in the morning, but the night before, the night of the 7th day, for sure you don't say Mitzvah and Kukul. It's a difficult Rashi that Tesis is not happy with. So Rashi claims that in the days of the Tanaim, there was a Tana who, Rabbi Yossi, was of the opinion that you would say Mixem Kekula even by Laila, even by Zava. But Rashi means that's one Tana. We don't pass like that. Tesis claims that there never even was such a Tana. Tesis thinks that no one ever said like that. Okay. So by Avelis, it's a Machlaikis and Rishonim, where they say Mixes Yom Kukula, the night of Shiva, the night of Shloshim. So the common practice is you wait till the morning of Shiva, till the morning of Shloshim, to say Mixes Yom Kukula. But the Chochmas Adam writes in the Chuvis, in the end of the Chochmas Adam, he has a quintus that's called Matzevis Moshe. He had a son who died at a very young age. I think he was a teenager. Son died on Purim, and he says the Chevra Kadisha in Vilna. The days of the Vilna Gaon didn't know the dinim, and he claims that they violated the halachas, and he says what they did was wrong, and he has dinim of avelus on Purim, and then he has a few shadas to choose. So he has halacha lemaisa. If it's a big shas hachag, then there's room to be mekel on anybody, not only shmur rechoika. There's room to be mekel to say mitzvah to call it the night of Shiva. You don't have to wait till the morning the next day, because Mikra Adim, we really paskin. You can even say Mixem Kukula Balayla. You don't have to wait. The common minig is that you wait till the morning, but he said Mikra Adim, you don't have to. So the Maram Rutmer has the shadow like this. A child is 2 weeks before Bar Mitzvah, and a relative passed away. Let's say a parent or a sibling, someone passed away. So the din is that the children, there's no chinach and avelus for the children, so they don't observe avelus. But then the child becomes bar mitzvah 2-3 weeks after the death of the relative. So one is a katan, so he's a la bar das, so he say, there's no yediyah. The chiyav avelus only begins when you have a diyah. So katan's a la bar das, so there is no yediyah. Maybe that's the reason why there's no chinach and avelus. That's what perhaps it sounds like from this Maram Rutenberg. But Moshe doesn't give that reason, he gives two other reasons why. Why there's no chinach and avelus? But the pashtus in the Maram Rutenberg sounds because there are certain dinim that only set in, the din depends on yediyah. Kolzman is no yediyah, so the whole din doesn't apply. Let's say, I'm going to feed you non-kosher food. And I'll say, whatever he doesn't know won't hurt him. He doesn't know that it's non-kosher food. That's not right. That's lifnei gula sita michshol. Ah, you don't know that it's treif. It's still, I'm causing you to do an avera. If a person eats treif, sometimes a person eats chelev or dam, the shaykh has to bring a carbon chatos. Ah, he didn't know that it was chelev or dam. So that's called misasek. Misasek b'chalom mara is chayv shekeinahen. Misasek is chayv achatos. If he ate chelev or he's balei shesish, misasek. So then he is chayv. She came to him. So most of the dinim apply even if the person doesn't know. If he's not observing the din, so it's b'shoigig. He didn't have there b'shoigig, or he didn't do the mitzvah b'shoigig. And once in a while, there's a din that the idea of the facts is one of the conditions of niyug of the din. So take, for example, avelus. I'm a doctor in the hospital, and I made up that I'm going to pick up my next door neighbor. We're going to go to a wedding tonight. I know that I came from the hospital. I know that his father just died, or a sibling just died in the hospital, and he has to start observing avelus. And I don't tell him. I call him up. I say, you ready to go to the wedding? I pick him up. We go to the wedding. Then after the wedding is all over, then I tell him, by the way, your father just died today. So maybe it's a nasty thing to do, but strictly speaking, I didn't. Maybe he would want to make hachanas for the funeral, but strictly speaking, I didn't violate lifnei gula sita michshol. Because Kol Zman doesn't know, there's neither shmur krov and nor shmur rechoika. There was no yediyah of the death of the relative, so the whole chiyav avelus doesn't begin. There are few dinim like that it depends on yediyah. The Kol Zman is not yediyah, so the whole din doesn't apply. Or la b'chutzla, it says like that. Safik or la b'chutzla, it says mutter. Mamzer is like that. Mamza Sofik is Mutta love of the call. Why? Because Isa Mamza depends on the idea of the fact. He doesn't have to know the halach, he has to know the facts. If he doesn't even know the fact that he was born from his mother's second husband, and the mother never got a get from the first husband, he doesn't know the facts. He doesn't even know that he is a Mamza. So then, strictly speaking, I can read a Shidduch. I can be Meshadach, the Mamza with a Kshera. If neither of them know the fact that there's an Isa Mamzeris over here, so I'm not mechuyev to tell. It's not a smart idea, because they can live together and have 10 children, and then they're going to find out that one of them is a mamzer, then they're going to have to get divorced. So what kind of an Irishkeit is that? But strictly speaking, Kolzman, they don't know. So by mamzeris, if there's no yediyah of the mamzeris, so the whole issa doesn't apply. So then Maharam Rutenberg has this shayla. A child is not yet bar mitzvah, and a relative dies, so he doesn't observe avelus. He didn't observe any avelus. Then in the middle of Shloshim, he becomes bar mitzvah, and after he's a bar mitzvah, he's al pidin, he's a barda. So that's considered shmur kreva. He found out about the, when he's a katan, we consider as if there was no yediyah, because a katan is a la bardas. But then he finds out about the death of the relative right after he becomes bar mitzvah, before the 30 days are up. So does he have to observe avelus or not? So the Maharam Rutenberg says, yes, he does have to. I, but the chiv avelus was chal two weeks ago when he was a katan, and the din is that there's no chinuch on avelus. So the Maharam Rutenberg proves that that the din is, like he said, that he does have to observe avelus from the Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara says, a child becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos. In the beginning of Shabbos, he was still a katan. He becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos. So the Gemara says, if he was mechal Shabbos b'shogeg before he became bar mitzvah, so he's not mechuyev to bring a korban chatas. He was a katan. A katan is only mechuyev to observe Shabbos mederabbanan. There's no koris. You only bring a korban chatas if he would have done it. They have been amazing. You wouldn't mechayev koris. A katan is not mechayev koris. But when he becomes bar mitzvah, 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Shabbos afternoon. Then if he's Mechal Shabbos after 1 o'clock, then he's Mechuyib Ben HaTorah to observe the remainder of Shabbos. So if he'll be Mechal Shabbos B'Shogeg after 1 o'clock in the afternoon, then he'll be Mechuyib to bring a Chatas. So the Maharam raises a question. Why is he obligated to observe the end of Shabbos? He's assuming, he's building up an argument in his mind, but the Chiyuv to observe Shabbos on the level of the Raisa takes effect Ben HaShmashos. He holds on the level of the Raisa, the Chiyuv to observe Shabbos is called Ben HaShmashos of Tchilas Hayom. Ben HaShmashos, he was a cotton, so it wasn't Mechayivim. And the Gemara says he is Mechayiv to observe the last few hours of Shabbos Ben HaTorah. If he'll be Mechal Shabbos B'Shegig in the second half of the day, on Shabbos afternoon, he will be Chayiv to bring Lachatos. So the Maharam Rutenberg says, you see from the Gemara that Ein Bichay Eitzal Mitzvahs. Even though he was a cotton at the time of Tchilas HaShabbos, but the Bein HaShmashos, the Chiyuv, was Chal on him to observe Shabbos L'Kishay Agdol. It was Chal on him Avur Li'achazman. So he said, the same over here. The Kvuras HaMeis is Mechayvin Avelis. But at the time of the Kvuras HaMeis, this person was a cotton, so it wasn't Mechayvin. But he becomes by mitzvah within the 30 days. So the Kvura is the Stimus HaGolol is the Gemar HaKvura. So the Kvura is Mechayev, the Kotten L'Kishi Agdol. Just like the beginning of Shabbos is Mechayev, the Kotten Menator Avur Lachazman, if he'll become a Bar Mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos, then he has to observe the second half of Shabbos, the end of Shabbos, Menator, the beginning of Shabbos, he only has to observe Medar Abonim. And if he's Mechal Shabbos B'Shogeg, he won't be Chayev HaChatos for that. But the end of Shabbos, after he becomes Bar Mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos, he'll be obligated to observe Menator. So to over here, the Kvura is Mechayiv the Kotten, Avur Le'achazman, Mechayiv him to observe, if it's going to be a Shmur Kreva, he'll be obligated to observe the Avelis. The Rosh quotes this from the Maharam Rutenberg, and he says, it's not really fair to argue with the Rebbe. The Rebbe passed away, and he gives a Moshel, this Moshel, the Loshen appears in the Mishnais, Hey Mishiv Nisari, Lachamosa, it's not fair that you're going to fight with a lion after the lion is dead. If the lion is still alive, the lion will rip me to pieces. Of course the lion is going to win the fight. I wait till the lion dies, and then I pick a fight with the lion. So of course I'm going to win. If the lion dies, so he says, the Rosh writes, it's not fair that I'm going to argue with my Rebbe who passed away already. My Rebbe passed away. He said, if I would argue with the Rebbe while he's still alive, he would rip me to pieces. I wouldn't have any ability to argue with him. But the Rebbe passed away, so that's why... I have the right to dingsa. But he says, what can I do? I don't understand what the Rebbe said. So he says, he doesn't understand what the Maharam Rutenberg brought right. What the Maharam Rutenberg think that the Mechayiv of Shabbos is the Bein HaShmashos of Tchilas Hayayim? He says, no, every moment of Shabbos has Kedusha. So every minute of Shabbos, he Mechayiv to observe Shabbos. So the Kotten Shehigdol in the middle of Shabbos, kid became a bar mitzvah at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Shabbos afternoon. So the first half of Shabbos, he was only obligated to observe Midrabban. The second half of Shabbos, after 1 o'clock, he was obligated to observe Shabbos Menatorah. Not because Bein Hashmashes is Merchaitim Lachazman. No, but he needs Bein Hashmashes. Every moment of Shabbos has Kedusha Sayyam, and it's Merchaiv you to observe the Issa Malocha. Masheini came by Avelis. The Merchaiv in the Avelis is the Kvura. The steam is Hagala, the Gemar HaKvura. It's at the time of Gemar HaKvura, the child was a cotton. So it wasn't Mechaitim. So no such thing as a Chiyav Lachazman. That's what the Rosh argues with the Mar Ritma. Who said there is such a thing? Bein Hashmashes, I become a Chuyav as a cotton to observe Shabbos Likishayagdal if I'll become a Bar Mitzvah in the middle of the day. No. I became Bar Mitzvah at 1 o'clock, and 1 o'clock has Kedusha. Every minute of Shabbos has Kedusha. So it's a fundamental machlokes between the Maharam Rutmerg and the Rosh on the level of their Isis. So the Maharam Rutmerg holds that called the Tikkun Rabbanan came their Isis Tikkun. All the dinim that depend Dafkan Bein Hashmashes of Tchilas Hayem is all patterned after the din der Isis. That's the din der Isis like that. That the Mechayiv to observe Shabbos is the Bein Hashmashes of Tchilas Hayem. It affects me. It's Mechayiv me then. And if I wasn't yet by mitzvah, it's mechayev mi avu lachazman. That's called ein diche etzal mitzvah, a chiddush. So Rav Soloveitchik used to like this. He used to say this. This was when he was a youngster. This was machlokes between Sachet Shavu Rebbe and Shechen Shavu Rebbe. Sachet Shavu Rebbe was davening nezer, and he held like that. Rav Soloveitchik got a lot of very sharp ideas from davening nezer. A lot of times, every so often there was a shiva Rav Soloveitchik that was lock, stock, and barrel straight from davening nezer. Because as a child, he used to use the Avnei Nezer a lot. He used to use the Eglei Tala, Hilchos Shabbos, and the Tshuvas Avnei Nezer. A lot of times he would say, word for word, the Loshon of the Avnei Nezer. Word for word, the Loshon. Blow by blow, word for word, a lot of times. So he thought that this was correct. The Shechen of Erebbe held like the Maram Rutmer. So one of the Gedolim, one of the big tzaddikim who was killed by the Nazis in the Second World War, was the Kosher Glover going. He was the rabbi in Kosher Glover, I think, before the First World War. And then after Ramesh Shapir passed away, Ramesh Shapir appointed him to be the Rosh Yeshiva, to give the highest shir in the Lublin Yeshiva. And then the Nazis killed him with some of the other tzaddikim. So he has a tshuva sefer that's called Eretz Tzvi. His name was Tzvi Frama, Tzvi Aryeh Frama. So he has a sefer Eretz Tzvi, Shalos Tshuvas. So he points out this machloikas between Sachet Shavu Rebbe and Shechen Shavu Rebbe was exactly the machloikas, the Maharam Rutenberg in the Rosh, whether it is the din of Mamukzah, Migros Katzot Ben Hashmashes, is that pattern after the din der Raisa? There is such a din der Raisa? Oh no, on the level of the Raisa, there is no such din. Rav Soloveitchik interpreted a lot of Gemaras based on this assumption, like the Sachet Shavu Rebbe, like the Avnei Nezer. That the Mechaev to observe Shabbos is Bein Hashmashes of Tchilas Hayom. The Kosher Glover has the following case. There is an institution of the international dateline. So where exactly is the dateline? So the Chazanish has a whole, the Kosher Glover going has a tshuva about that also. He writes a lot about where is the dateline. So he says, before the Chazanish. Chazanish wrote his whole country's in the middle of the Second World War, when the yeshiva people were in Japan. When they were in Shanghai, there was no Shana. When they were in Japan, and that was the Shana. So what was this? So what is talk of the dateline? So the Chazanish writes, all the seven Rishonim comment on the Gemara that the dateline is 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim. The world is a globe, and the globe has two hemispheres. So we usually divide it upper hemisphere, lower hemisphere. We usually divide it by the equator. If you want, you can hold South Pole up and say that South Pole is on top. So the Gemara says when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, what was on top? Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael Gevurah Mikol HaRatzis. What do you mean Eretz Yisrael Gevurah Mikol HaRatzis? Eretz Yisrael has a higher elevation above the sea level than the Swiss Alps? No, Eretz Yisrael is not the highest place in the world. So what kind of a lashon is that? Eretz Yisrael Mikol HaRatzis and Yerushalayim, we come to Be'alisa Lamokam Melameh, that Yerushalayim is higher than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. It's not true. The Tanoim knew, the Gemara says, that David HaMelech knew that Ein Itim is higher elevation above sea level than Yerushalayim. So how did they say that? Yerushalayim is Gevayim Mikol Eretz Yisrael. And they knew that the Swiss Alps, the Rockies probably also, is higher elevation above sea level than the mountains in Eretz Yisrael. How did they make this statement? Eretz Gevayim Mikol Harotzis, and Yerushalayim Gevayim Mikol Eretz Yisrael. So the Balamor says it doesn't mean how high the location is above sea level. It means at the time of Riyas HaOlam, when the Ribbono Shel Olam pushed the button and the earth started to spin on its axis, what was on top? So the Gemara had a tradition, what was on top was Eretz Yisrael Yerushalayim, was Gevoya Mikol Eretz Yisrael, Gevoya Mikol Arotzis at the beginning of Riyas HaOlam. The top of the upper hemisphere was Yerushalayim in Eretz Yisrael. And the Mele Vahiyera Vahivaka, the first place that it became Shkia, was 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim. And that's a north-south line, what do you call it, a meridian, I think it's called a meridian. That's the meridian that cuts through Manchuria and it cuts through Australia. So that's the date line. So let's say that Kosher Glover has this. Let's say there's a boat that's floating in the Pacific Ocean. And the boat is to the east of the date line, and it's Friday afternoon, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And the Shkia is going to be later. Shkia is going to be 8 o'clock, 8:30. It's Friday afternoon, 4 o'clock. And the boat floats to the west of the date line. The boat floats a little bit. It goes to the west of the date line. So it used to be Friday afternoon, 4 o'clock. Now it became Shabbos afternoon, 4 o'clock. And the people on the boat, the Jewish people on the boat, never experienced Bein HaShemashes of Tchilas HaShabbos. It was Friday, 4 o'clock, and it just became Shabbos, 4 o'clock, with the snap of the finger, because the boat floated to the west of the dateline. So he thinks, are the people on the boat obligated to observe the rest of the day with Kedusha Shabbos? So he said, if you hold like the Rosh, and like the Chechen of the Rebbe, every moment of Shabbos has a Kedusha and Smachai, to observe Isim Alocha. So once the boat floated into Shabbos, Arangafon into Shabbos, so the people on the boat have to observe the rest of Shabbos Menatar. But if you hold like the Avnei Nezer, and the Kosher Glover was a Talmud of the Avnei Nezer, see, he held Taka like the Avnei Nezer. If you hold like the Avnei Nezer, he says the person on the boat never experienced Bein HaShemashes of Tchilas Shabbos. So he thinks even though now he's in a time zone, the boat floated to the west of the dateline, and now it became Shabbos afternoon, 4 o'clock, and he's in the location where it is Shabbos. But he personally never experienced the Bein HaShemashes of Knisas HaShabbos. So he says he thinks that it's only Mechuyib to observe the rest of Shabbos from the Rabban. He doesn't think it's Mechuyib Ben HaTor. Not Mechuyib Ben HaTor to observe the rest of Shabbos. I mean, the Rabban in any way is Mechuyib to observe. But he thinks of L'chap Anav Kamina, whether he's Mechuyib Ben HaTor, Mechuyib Ben the Rabban. So this was this a big issue. This Nigadis Katsoy de Bein HaShemashes, that's what Avnei Nezer thinks, that this is rooted in a Din D'Oraisa pattern after the Din D'Oraisa. On the level of D'Oraisa, the Mechayev to observe Melech HaShabbos is the Bein HaShemashes of Tchilo Shabbos. And so Soloveitchik explained a lot of other things based on this assumption. The Gemara has on the first staff and dates on that, based on the base. Gemara talks, what's the din? A live animal is not Michael Odom and it's not Michael Behem. Let's say the animal dies a natural death, so it's people are not going to eat it. Let's say Jewish people, it's a nevela. But the Behemoth can eat it, so Michael Behem is not Muktzeh. So what if you had a live animal, dies in the middle of Shabbos, dies in the middle of Yom Tov? What's the din? So the Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Shabbos, Machat Chenes HaNevela Lefnei HaKlovim. It's permissible, a Nevela and Shenes Nabla B'Shabbos. An animal dropped dead in the middle of Shabbos. If it dropped dead in the middle of Shabbos, it means that it was sickly on Erev Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Behemah Shenes Nabla B'Shabbos, an animal that dies in the middle of Shabbos, and it became Michael Behemah in the middle. Did it have any Hachana? Was it Mukhan? So the Gemara says, if you need Hachanas HaBailin, it was Muktzah on Erev Shabbos. Baal HaChaim is Muktzah, so he wasn't HaBailin to be making it. But if you hold that all Ochel Mekelem HaMuchan Ne'aleyem, that's how we pass like Reb Shimon. even though beginning of Shabbos it is a Baal Chaim, Baal Chaim ma mukteh, mishtam sheba Baal Chaim, it is mukteh in the Rabbanan, but the fact that the animal died in the middle of Shabbos is an indication that it was sickly, and it was shvach, it was holding by the end, on Erev Shabbos. So it's like Moshe Shemesh Ebiner, on Ben Hashmashes, it was already oimed lekach that is going to die in the middle of Shabbos, and that will depend on the makleg zabiyuta Reb Shimon. So if you hold like Reb Shimon, then oichel is mucha me'elov, so the be'emesh and isnabla be'emta Shabbos will be mucha me'elov for Michael be'emesh, so it won't be mukhtzah. But if it then would have been like Reb Yudit, then you need achonas abaylan. So Ben Hashmashes is not abaylan because it's mukhtzah, so you have no right to be mazman. So the Gemara says that Mishnah and Shabbos that says Mechat Chenes Hanveila Lefnei Aklovim, you permit it to cut up the Nevela and feed it to the dogs, that's obviously assuming that the din is like Reb Shimon, that you don't need Achanas Abaylan, Mucha Me'elam is good enough by Yochel Mekelem. So the Gemara quotes that Stam Mishnah to indicate that if at least in Ilchel Shabbos a Bura Anasi who edited the Mishnayis Paschans like Reb Shimon by Migudis Katzoy. Yeah. The Gemara has what's problematic is the Gemara has a machlekes in Masech and Shabbos. What if Be'emesh and Isnabla Be'emesh on Shabbos? What if the Be'emesh was Berea? It wasn't that Daner of Shabbos, the Be'emesh was Shvach, and it was holding by Gesisa, and it finally died in the middle of Shabbos. No, Be'emesh Berea, and he got a heart attack in the middle of Shabbos, and it died unexpectedly. So if it's Be'ema Bria, you can't say it's Muhan Me'elev Abuli Achazman. Just like if you had Kos Karev Ashoshes, if the person lit Neiris on Erev Shabbos in such a long Yortzeit candle that's going to burn for 24 hours, there was no, from the perspective of Ben Hashmashes, there was no foreseeable Achazman. It doesn't look like it's going to go out in the middle of Shabbos. So then even Reb Shimon, who usually doesn't hold for Migudis Katzot, would say here, it's muktzah, because you can't say it's mucha me'el babu le'achazman. It doesn't seem that there is going to be any foreseeable le'achazman. So that's why it's very mistaber that be'emesh and isnabla b'shabbos is not muktzah according to Reb Shimon. That's only if he was holding by gesisa on Erev Shabbos. It was shvach shvach. It was up geshvach. So then we say, oh, it's a gloy muslim afreya. It was emed lomos in the middle of Shabbos. What if he was a be'emer b'riya? And he got a heart attack and it dies all of a sudden in the middle of Shabbos, not to be expected. Then it should be the same as Kos Karev Ashash, that even Rab Shimon should say, Ligadis Katzai. So that's a machloikis amaroyim in the Gemara. And we pass, and even Be'ema Bria also, you don't say Ligadis Katzai. So that's a pella. How can it be? Be'ema Bria is like Kos Karev Ashash, even Rab Shimon should agree. You can't say it's Mucham Me'elo Ben Ashmash Sabu Lachazman. There is no Fasiba Lachazman. It doesn't look like there is going to be any lachazman in the middle of Shabbos. So that's a pella. So the Pnei Yeshua points that the sachapella should be the same as Kos Karev Ashoshes. So he says Tosus Bavaran is the problem. Tosus raises the issue. The Tosus says no Ben Hashmashes. Everybody knows that a cherush had to cut, may come over and shech the animal in the middle of Shabbos. So he says pilei ploy. What mean a cherush had to cut? How often? In the history of the world, how often did such a thing happen? That a cherush had to be cut, walked over and shechted the behemah on Shabbos. Never happened. How could that? It's so far-fetched. Should be. It's a pella. Okay. We don't really understand. That's stuck at pella. Yeah. So that's the background of this whole thing. Yeah. We mentioned there's a din of bosses. Bosses of Dabar. So the Gemara says, the Coast Guard does not the container. And Hanach Lener Shem and Apsila. Hanach Lener Shem and Apsila. The Ner is the cup that holds the oil, and the Shemen is the oil, and the Apsila is the wick. So all three, Hanach Lener Shem and Apsila, all the Nasabasas, the Dabar Asad, the Shalhem, is the flame, is Mukta Machmas Gufa on Shabbos. On Yantav, it's not Mukta because he can light another flame from it. But on Shabbos, you can't light, you can use the heat, you can use the warmth, but you can't use the flame itself. So the Chefs of the flame is a dovishain bohish tamshus klau. So that's why the flame is mukta on Shabbos. So then the ner shem and epsila bus is davarhas. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the dinin. It's from the Gemara, all from the Gemara. If it's a bus is davarhas, or a davar mutter, let's say you have the table. the table. So you have on the table, you have chalas, and you have plates, and you have silverware, and you have cups people are going to drink. And then you have a bottle of wine and a becher, and then you have the candlestick. So the table is a, so you can't move the table, because the table is a buses, because the flame is there. So years ago, they didn't have a chandelier in the middle of the ceiling. So the neiris on the table were illuminating the whole room. So the neiris played a much more important role than they do today. Today, it gives a romantic feeling. It gives a Shabbos atmosphere that you have, like people go to a restaurant and they light candles on a table. Sometimes you go to a wedding and they light candles on a table. But you have the big chandelier hanging on top. So the candles don't play that greater role. So by us, let's say you have a table, and for some reason or another, you want to move the table. Would you say the table became a buses davar asar? Would you say it's a bus davar asar the davar amuta? So the Gemara says it depends which is more important. So if you have chalas, and you have svarim on the table, then you have silverware, and you have cups, and a becher, and a bottle of wine, and plates, and everything, and you have a candlestick, the candlestick, let's say the silver of the candlestick is worth more than everything put together, but the candlestick is not muktzeh. Candlestick is only a klisha malach taliyisa. That's what it says here in Shulchan Aruch Sivav, Reishain Tes Sivav. If you have, let's say you have the candlesticks that you light candles and you put them on the table. Then you have extra candlesticks on the side table that you're not lighting candles in. So that's a klisha malach taliyisa that we mentioned. That's machlekes Tosfos and other rishonim. Tosfos holds, just like a pen and a pencil is a klisha malach taliyisa, it's miyuchad to do ksiva, or scissors is a klisha malach taliyisa, roi malach taliyisa, mid malach taliyeter. So too a candlestick is usually used to light candles in. So Tosfos holds that that's a klisha malach taliyisa. So if you lit in the candlestick, then it's muktzeh mamish. Then you can't even move in itself, move in itself and come. If you didn't light in the candlestick, then it's only klisha malach taliyisa. So it says in the mechaber in sivav mutal taltala, because it's not muktzeh. It's only klisha malach. What means it's not muktzeh? Mutal taltala means Mishnah Berurah. Mutal taltala itself, guf in itself and kaima. But it is a klisha malach taliyisa, and we follow Tosfos. The other Rishonim disagree. The Rashba quoted those, the Ramban, who disagree with Tosfos. It's not a klisha malach taliyisa. A pen and a pencil, you use the pen to do the ksiva. A scissors, you use the scissors to cut. The kli is used to do a malacha. But over here, you do a malacha on it. You light a candle on the candlestick, but you don't use the candlestick to do the malacha. It sits on the table when you do a malach on top of it. So other Rishonim disagree. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskens like Tosfos, that the candlestick that you didn't light then is not muktzeh, but it has the status of a klisha malach taliyisa, so therefore you would be mutal taltala what is made. So gufa l'tzorach makayma, not shalom l'tzorach klal. Yeah, so again, so the Gemara says when you have a basis davar asur, a davar amuter, if the davar asur is clearly more important than the davra muta, then it is a basis. But if it's davra muta is more important, then it's a basis. Davra muta doesn't become a basis. So by us, since we usually have the big chandelier is going to be burning also, so the whole light is not coming, is not emanating from the candles on the table. The candles are just giving a little romantic, a shabzika atmosphere. So it can be, you can beat out the buses, the status of buses from the candles, if you have a lot of other things there. Yeah, this din, the din of buses davrasa, the Gemara says, is only if it's meniach, if it's shachach, it doesn't become. Let's say a person comes home from the office, and he comes home late, Friday afternoon, and he takes out the wallet from his back and he puts it on, there's a table in his bedroom. He puts the wallet on the table. He didn't plan to leave it there. He wanted to hang up the weekday suit. He doesn't want to leave the wallet in the suit, so he puts it somewhere. So he leaves it on the table. And then it's a shochach. He didn't put it on purpose. He doesn't always put it on the table. Well, let's say I'm a guest and someone else is home to keep in my own bedroom. And then I take my wallet and I put it on top of the table. And then I didn't know the balabas needs that table to serve all the extra guests. So balabas comes on Friday night. He wants to take out the table. The table just became a bus davros. So the Tosfos points out, Ein al Masa, Dovah Shein Shalai, I'm a guest in your home. I have no right to ask your table. I don't have the ability to make it into a bus's davar house. If I walk into your kitchen and you're cooking fleishiks and I pour milk into the fleishik pot, so even if the milk leaks in by itself, even if the milk falls in by itself, it also becomes bus of a cholam. You don't need kavanas agamra. But in order to be muktze, the Gemara says it depends, is it shochech or is it meniach? If you weren't thinking when you put the muktze on the kli, you weren't thinking at all what's going to be in the future. You didn't have bedavke, an idea to place it there. If it was just shochech, it wasn't meniach, then it doesn't become a buses. So since you need kavanas agabra to make it into a buses, so if it's a dov shenu shali, then we say, hey, no, the most dov shenu shali. I don't have the ability to make your table into a buses, dov hasa. So these are all some of the dinim here in Reish Ayin Tes. Yeah, here there's a machloikis in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaban Ramah, machloikis in the Rishonim. We really should have paskan like Reb Shimon. The Gemara said we pass like Reb Shimon, that you don't need hachonas habar. So, in any ochel mekelim is really mucham me'elov. So really, the most shemesh habineir, the leftover oil, he didn't use kos karibashas, didn't use so much oil it's going to burn for 24 hours. But he a little bit, we know it's going to go out in 6 hours. After 6 hours, we know it's going to be leftover oil. So what if, so the Gemara says, Reb Shimon himself would say, Moshe Shemesh Abinair is not muktzah. Only about Kos Karibashashas he'll say it's muktzah. Because from the perspective of Danish Moshes, there is no fasir balachas man on Shabbos that it's going to be mutter because it looks like it's going to burn for 24 hours. But if he lit a small candle, he lit with a little bit of oil. And it then we really should have thought that the most of Shem Shabiner is not the Megiddo Stetzai. But the Gemara in the end of Shabbos says no, that we make a compromise. We don't pass away like Rav Shimon. Why? The Hamish and Mesa the Shabbos, we don't say Megiddo Stetzai. The animal died. Okay. So the Gemara says that Behemish and Mesa b'Shabbos, we don't say Migadis Katsoi, because since the animal died on Shabbos, it was sickly on Erev Shabbos. And even this, we don't really understand it, even if it's a Behemah Bria. And one of the Amarayim should have really been right. Behemah Bria should be like Kos Karibashash. There is no Fasfir Balachazman. Behemah doesn't seem that it's going to die in the middle of Shabbos. It's a healthy animal. So still, Tosfos somehow says, still, we all know that a Cherishat to be cut may shech the animal in the middle of Shabbos, and therefore there is a Fasfir Balachazman. So we really don't understand. Whenever there is a Fasfir Balachazman, then we don't say Migadis Katsoi, we say it's Muchameel of Abu Lachman. So every time we like, why do we pass like that Gemara in the end of Shabbat? And the Moshe Shem Shabiner, you do say Migadis Katsoi. Why? But by the Behemish and Mesa of the Shabbos, you don't say like that. So why you Machma over here? So that's a Machloikis in the Rishonim, Machloikis here, the Mechaban Ramah. Where is it? What if, when they benched Lich, here, Siv Dalit, Reish Ayin Tes Siv Dalit, what if the person benched Lich and they said, Beferish, I have in mind that I know it's going to go out in 6 hours, and I plan to use the Moshe Shemin. I plan to handle the candlestick after the flame goes out. He says, Beferish, he doesn't want it to become a Migadis Katsoi. He plans to use it after. So the Mechaber says that there are those who are making them. Histam, the Erev Shabbos, on their Zeh, she taltalenu. He called them Mutala Taltala. Why? Because we really should have passed him like Reb Shimon that, you know, he doesn't hold Migadis Katsoi. It's not Kos Karibashashis, that it looks like it's going to burn for 24 hours. It looks like it's only going to burn for 6 hours. it's going to go out, so it should be muhammeel rabu leachazman. So how come we don't paskin like that? So that's what we say. No, it's if, since the balabasta lights the candles, it's like dachiei biadayim, it's like the balabasta is lighting candles, she's demonstrating that she's mesiach das from this, that she absolutely doesn't plan to use it all Shabbos. But if when she benches lift, she says she has a mind to move it after the flame goes on, the flame is on, it's a basis. After the flame goes out, it's no longer a basis. So really, Reb Shimon doesn't hold Megiddus Katzai over there. It should really be muta. So why do we have, why are we usually machmer? Because we assume, since it was dache biadayim, the balabasta lit the candle, so she has a mind not to use it. But if she says she plans to use it, then it's not dache biadayim. So it's the same as beimish amesa b'shabbos. And there are more paskim like the other rishonim. The Ran has this machlokes. The Ramah paskim like the other rishonim. No, and we really don't understand the Ramah. Why? Why is it different from Be'emish HaMesa B'Shabbos that we say the Din is like Reb Shimon, so it's Muchan, the Be'ema Bria was Muchan Avur Liachazman, so if it dies in the middle of Shabbos, so it's no longer Muktzah. So why don't you say the same over here? Why does that help? That's a problem. We're not sure exactly why we pass him like this compromise. Sima Resh Pei is a different din. The Gemara has a discussion. A man gets married to a girl who's getting married for the first time. So this is, so there may be Dam Bisulim. It's probably going to be Dam Bisulim. So if he caused bleeding on Shabbos, the Gemara says that's a Malach. So if Chosin is going to have Diri Shaina with a Psula on Shabbos, it probably, there may be, it's not a bad psikresh, it's a double shame, a miskaven. Sometimes there won't be any dam. In real cases, there won't be any dam. So it's a shaila, is there an iser of causing bleeding? Well, what's the malacha by bleeding? So there are different opinions in the Rishonim. The accepted thing, Rashi said that it's osa mishum tzaveya. That when you bleed, so it's going to die the body, or it's going to die the sheet. It's going to cause tzaveya. The Rambam says that it's an isim mishum disha, like squeezing out orange juice from an orange, squeezing out the grape juice from the grapes. It's a schitas peiros. So here they're causing the dam to leave the body. It's a malacha of disha. The accepted opinion is what Taisa said, because the Achranim point out the Rishami says beferish what Taisa said. That it's an Isra of Natilus Neshama. What do you mean Natilus Neshama? Shechet is one of the Lamentes of his Malachas. So Shechet is if you kill a Balchai over here, but the Kala didn't die. The Kala just had a little blood. So that's what Taisa quotes the Pasuk. It says in the Pasuk, Ki Hadamu Anefesh, that the blood circulation is what keeps the organism alive. Somehow the world of medicine didn't know this till a few centuries ago. And the Chazal understood that that's what it says in the Chumash, Ki Adamu HaNefesh, that the blood circulation keeps all the animals alive. So therefore, Malikot L'Kula, Malikot L'Pagla, that's the Lashon HaGemara, the Nida, the Gemara has like that. Since if you'll kill the Balchai, that's the Tilis Neshama, that's Shechik, that's the Malacha. So even if you cause a little bleeding, since the purpose of the Dam in the body is to keep the organism alive with the blood circulation, so I say Malikot L'Kula, Malikot Lepalga, that's also told of in the Tilis Nisham. So the Shaitas over here, Dam Besulim, the Dam Besulim is that the purpose of Dam Besulim is also to keep the organism alive. Or no, the Dam, when the Rebbe Shalom created the women's body, he created them with Dam Besulim. So whatever Dam comes out, by Dam, the Gemara has a lotion, Dam Besulim is Dam Mivkit Pocket. As if you have a container, like a Pikotin. Like the dam is sitting over there. This dam is not circulating in the rest of the body. I don't think that corresponds to reality. I think the dam is circulating. I think the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Gemara, the Nasekhan quote. The Gemara's lashon is in the beginning of Ksubis. The Gemara's lashon is a dam besulim. It's mifkid pocket. It doesn't circulate. It sits there. I don't think it means to be understood literally. It means, why did the Rebbe Shalom create dam in all the organisms? To keep the organism alive. But the Rebbe Shalom created an institution of dam besulim. That was never intended to keep the organism alive. The Abisulim is that there should be a Abisulim. And there should be a difference between a Bu'ul, a Bu'ul and a Bisulim. So since the role of that Dam Bisulim that comes out by being Rishayin is not for the purpose of Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh, there is no specific Dam Bisulim that's sitting there all the whole time. All the Dam is circulating in the body. But whatever Dam comes out, Bishas being Rishayin, you don't say on that Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh. So that's why there's no Isser over here. Yeah, the whole discussion in the Gemara only was the whole discussion. Mut the liver Bisulim betchila b'Shabbos. If the girl is a psula, what if she was a bu'ula? I'm going to marry a grusha, I'm going to marry an almona who was already previously married. So then there isn't going to be any damsul. So then she's zicha bimut. So the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch quote the Taisus and Yuma. In the first parak, Taisus has an interesting idea. They quote a Yerushalmi that by a psula, the chuppa is kaina. There's a malacha, there's an isim in the Rabban. In Mecca, Chamemkar is also on Shabbos, Zeri Shem Yichbel. So the din is you're not allowed to be Mekadosh and Isha on Shabbos because it's Mecca, Chamemkar, you're making a Kenyan. So that's Zeri Shem Yichbel. What about to do Nisuin? So if you already did Erisin, and then in the days of the Gemara, they used to do Nisuin a year after Erisin. So if you're going to do Nisuin on Shabbos, also not allowed to. That's like Erisin, that's a Kenyan, you're making a Kenyan. So if you marry a besula, so when you stand under the chuppah, so the chuppah is kind. If you marry a be'ula, Yerushalmi has a cryptic statement that the chuppah is not kind. So the be'erishayna is going to be kind. So if you're going to do be'erishayna, there won't be any dam besula, because she was already married before. She already has children from before. There's no more dam besula. But it'll be also because it's kind of kinyan mishabbos, because of the exerid rabban on a mekach hamemka. A twist. Why should that be so? Why the chup is only kind of by a psula, the chup is not kind of by a ba'ula? Why? It doesn't make any sense. So one of the contemporaries of Rab Chaim Valojiner gave an explanation and he didn't like it. So he quotes what the contemporary said and he rejects it. He says, the other one said, the chuppah is kinda only by a besula, because the besula, the meaning always was, even in the days of Yerushalmi, that yishtel a chuppah outside tachas kippah sarakiyah in order to invoke the blessing that HaKadosh Baruch gave Avraham Avinu. What did he tell him? Vayotze osa hachutza. He took Avraham Avinu outside, and he said, Habek na shamayim esvar kachavim kocha lispah. You can't count the stars, there's so many. So if the girl is a young girl who's getting married for the first time, and she wants to invoke the blessing of Kol Yezarecha, Kikoch Le'ashamayim, so the meaning was that you get married outside. So the chuppah is only kaina if the chuppah is Ishtel chuppah outside. But if, when a girl, where they already have previously had children from a previous marriage, this time she's already 60 years old. It's a Zivik Sheni. So Zivik Sheni, she's too old. She's not interested in having children now at the age of 65. So then they wouldn't have the chuppah outside. The whole idea of having the chuppah tachas kippah sarakiyah is to invoke the blessing of Kol Yezarech. So they have the chuppah inside a building. Chuppah is inside the building, so the chuppah is not kind. Chuppah is not a chilek between chuppah of a besula, his kind, and chuppah of a behula is not kind. No, the chuppah, if it's outside, it's kind of, if the chuppah is in a building, it's not kind of, why? So Rav Chaim Valojiner makes fun of it. He says it doesn't make any sense. But I think what they meant was the following. There's a Rosh in Sukkah. The Rosh has, he quotes Rishonim and say like this. If you have walls around the room, and then you make a chuppah in the middle of the room, why is the chuppah kind of? Because it's considered as the chuppah, the four poles, and the bar on top that goes from one pole to the second, to the third, to the fourth, and back to the first, is like a Tzuras HaPesach, like an Erev. So that's like a separate room. So the Chos and Kala go into that room. That's like there are other people in the room also inside of Kedushin. Their parents are there too. It's a big chuppah, but it's considered as if he did Knisa L'Mishusa, as if it's they walked into a room together for the purpose of Knisa L'Mishusa. Bamed v'mamur, when do you say that the chuppah under the chuppah constitutes like a cheder, bifnei atzma, rishus bifnei atzma, the chosin did knesa and rishusai? That's if you have the chuppah outside. But if you have the chuppah inside, if it's an amana and you're getting married, a zivik sheni at the age of 60, not going to have children now. So you don't want to invoke the blessing of Svarkachav and Kol Yezarecha. So they would get married inside. So the room has walls, our room and our room. The whole room is mukav mechitzis. So the Tzuris HaPesach of the Chuppah doesn't constitute the cheder bifnei atzmai. If they would have the Chuppah next to the wall, which they usually don't do, then it would be chalik rishus bifnei atzmai. The big hall, the big room, is one room, and this is a room next to that room. But usually they have the chuppah in the, moved away from the wall, in the middle of the room, middle of the ballroom. So the ballroom is surrounded around and around with walls. So the walls around the room swallow up the mechitzas around the chuppah. So it's not considered rishus bifnei atzma. That's what those achrayim meant. The reason why the chuppah salmon is not kind of because it's done in the house. And the house has walls around and around, so the chuppah is not considered the chilek rishus bifnei atzma. Anyway, Abchaim Balozhin didn't like it. He makes fun of it. He says the Rishami meant something else, and there is no such thing. He said there is no such thing. It doesn't make a difference whether she's an almona or a psula. The chuppah is going on Erev Shabbos. You have to be careful to make the chuppah on Erev Shabbos. Just like you're not allowed to be mitadish and isha on Shabbos, because it's mekach and mekach, so you're not allowed to do nisuin on Shabbos, because that also constitutes a kinyan. Okay, maybe we'll leave off over here. In this week's sedra, we have this week is Tazria and Mitzora. So we have a din that is very relevant for us. The whole story, and the whole story in the Chumash, according to some Tanaim, never happened, never will happen. Abayis HaMenuga. One Tana is of your opinion, there never was and there never will be an Eira Nidachas. The conditions are so far-fetched, never going to happen. One Tana holds, never was and there never will be a Ben Sora. More of the conditions are so far-fetched. Father and the mother have to be the same weight and the same height and the same facial features and the same voice. How can it be? It's so far-fetched. Val Kulam, they have to be prepared to take the child to the Bez and say, you want to give him Misa? Which parents are going to take, even if it's a rotten child, they're going to bring their child to the Bez and they want to give him the death penalty. And then the third one is the Bais HaMeruga, the Gemara quotes, one time is all the opinion, the conditions are so far-fetched, it has to be in the corner, the two stones, it's never going to happen. Right. So, but we have the Dinim in the Chumash, you have Mishnah, it's all Masechus Negoim. But there are a couple of prokim in the Gemara about Tzeraz Batim. But the Chumash has a din, if there's a Bais HaMeruga, so Habol HaBayis becomes Tummy. A person walks into the house becomes Tummy, but the Begodim that he's wearing don't become Tummy. If he's carrying Begodim and he's saying just like he becomes Tummy right away, the Begodim, the shoes and the socks and the clothing that he carries in the room also becomes Tummy immediately. But if he's wearing the Begodim, it doesn't become, the Begodim do not become Tummy right away, unless he stays there, it says in the Chumash, Ho'echol Ba'bayis. If he eats in the Bais HaMenuga, Yechabez Begodim. So the Chazal had a tradition, the Adam HaSar doesn't depend on Ho'echol Ba'bayis. Well, why is it? Only if he eats in that, it doesn't mean Ho'echol. It means if he Shoya Ba'bayis, Kedei Achilas Pras. If he stays in the house for a few minutes, long enough to eat a pras is either 3 beitzim or 4 beitzim of bread. That's a machlek satanaim and a machlek sabishan. Machlek satanaim, the end of the Erevin. How much a pras means? Half of a big loaf. The big loaf is if you want to make an eruve tchum and you want to go chutz l'tchum. So you have to have mazon shtei sudas. Eruve tchum doesn't have to be made with bread. You can make with gefilte fish, you can make with pickles. But you have to have so much gefilte fish, so much bread, and so much pickles. How much would be normal to eat in 2 meals? Mazon shtei sudas. So if you have a gefilte fish, 2 pieces of, you give 1 gefilte fish for each meal. So two slices of gefilte fish. And how much pickles? I don't know. How much pickles is a normal to eat in 2 meals? And if you use bread, how much bread is a normal to eat in 1 meal? And how much is a normal to eat in 2 meals? And that's a machlokes hatanoim in the Mishnah. Is it 3 beitzim of bread for 1 meal? So the whole loaf of bread for the Eruv Tchumen is going to be 6 beitzim, the volume of 6 beitzim. Or is it 4 beitzim of bread, the volume of 4 eggs, beitza beinonis. We don't see beitza beinonis. In America, all the small and medium-sized eggs, they used to make mayonnaise. When I was a little boy, I remember the eggs were much smaller. Now, we always see large eggs, jumbo eggs. I never see normal beitza beinonis. You never see. they make them all into mayonnaise. So you have to take if you have the volume. So how much bread is kedei achilas pras? Is you take a big loaf of bread and you cut it in half? That's a pras. The Navi Yeshaya encourages the wealthy people to break off some of their bread. You have so much bread, you're going to throw it out. What's left of it, you're going to throw it out. Give it to the poor man, he can't afford to have any bread. So the Navi Yeshaya says, Halafrosla Raiv Lachmecha, make it, break off a prus and give it to the hungry poor man, he has nothing to eat. So that's called a prusa. So if a person is Shoya, if he walks into the Bais HaMidrug and he walks out a second later, he becomes Tami, the Begonim is Mang, do not become Tami. But if he sits in the Bais, he stays in the Bais HaMidrug long enough, Kedachilas Pras, long enough to eat Pras Pas Chitim, either 3 or 4 Beitzim of wheat bread. If it's made from, pumpernickel, if it's made from barley, it'll take a different amount of time. It means pas chitim, meisiv arechot beliftan. If you dip the bread into a some liquid, so it's going to be moist, so it'll be easier to swallow, so it'll be able to eat it faster. If you have bread and you're not dipping it into anything, and then meisiv arechot beliftan, liftan means it's dipping it into the liquid, the mayonnaise or something. The Yekas eat all the time bread with, I have a son-in-law, Zayeke, always eats bread with mayonnaise, gigantic containers of mayonnaise, and he's massive, and you have to be leaning, you eat it to say because so it'll go faster. Massive echopolif. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Yom Kippur talks about this, how long is Kedachi Luspras? When a person is a Chayla Mesukan, he's allowed to eat, and he has to eat on Yom Kippur, so machila mosa akala kaltchila. You don't tell him to eat a whole meal. Why should he try to minimize the iser? Whenever you have to be machalo Shabbos to save someone's life, or you have to eat treifas to save your life, so you try to minimize the iser. That's called akala kaltchila. Machila mosa akala kaltchila. So the din is a chatzis shir osman ator. If you eat less than a shir on Yom Kippur, it's an iser deraisa, but there's no curse. If you eat a full shir, it's an iser curse. If you eat a little bit, then you wait kedachi los pras, then you eat a little bit, it's still an iser deraisa, but it's not curse. It's not as chomer as if you would eat the whole thing altogether. So if you have a choyle mesukan, a lot of people think when you eat pachas mikashir, even if you're not a choyle mesukan, everything is mutter. That's not correct. To eat pachas mikashir is an isa deraisa, and they had to eat anything on Yom Kippur, even to eat less than a shir, is only if there's a suffix sakana. No suffix sakana, you're not allowed to eat pachas mikashir either. But whenever there is a suffix sakana, so you have to try to minimize the isa, so rather than eat the whole kashir with basachas, that'll be an isa chomer of kare, so eat pachas mikashir, wait, so it shouldn't be mitzurf together, it shouldn't be tel kedachilos pras. How much is kedachilos pras? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes, the Chassam Sefer's tshuva, 9 minutes. By all food, it's 9 minutes. So the Chassam Sefer, so the Minchas Chinuch has a hasoga on this idea. He thinks that that's not correct. How can you give a zman for Kedachilos Pras? Every Meichel has its own zman. If you're eating a filter fish, and if you swallow Kazai's Kedachilos Pras, then you say burn the fushes. So, Kedachilos Pras means how long would it take to eat 3 or 4 beitzim of gefilte fish? And if you're eating hard-boiled eggs, dry hard-boiled eggs, that's going to take you longer because it's dry, it's going to get stuck in your throat. So it's going to take a longer period of time. And if you're drinking water, you want to know how long Kedachilos Pras is. It's much faster. It's water. It goes down very quickly. Each Michael has a different shear. Kedachilos Pras of that Michael. The only time the Mishnah says that the shear is Turk de Achilos Pras Pas Chitim, Mesa the Echel Beliftan, it's bread made from wheat flour, and you're dipping it into a salad, a dressing, so it's going to be liquidy. That's if he's not eating anything. He came into the Bais HaMenuga, so if he's Shoya, the Bais HaMenuga, he just stays there long enough. But Echel Babais, he's Shoya long enough that he could have eaten the Pras. So then not only is he Tommy, even the Begadim are Tommy, but he's not eating anything. So then you have to give a shear. How long did he stay in the Bais HaMenuga? The amount of time that it would take to eat 3 or 4 beitzim of pas chitim, mesa v'echa b'l'barfis, eating some kind of food. So So you always measure Dr. Achilles Pasa of that Michael. You don't measure, it's not a fixed amount for all Machol. That's the Minchas Chinuch Tainas like that. And he brings a raya that in Shulchan Aruch there's a machlokes. There's such a din by the Rambam. It's a problematic Rambam, but the Rambam says that Dukhda Achilles Pas is only by eating food. A Kazai's Dukhda Achilles Pas. What if you're drinking a beverage? So you have to drink a Revius in order to say a Bracha Achreina. You have to drink a Revius, Tok Kadesh Tias Revius, with no pause at all in between. If you're masik in between, it's not. So the Shad is, what if you're drinking burning hot coffee or burning hot tea, and you can't drink the Revius, Tok Kadesh Tias Revius? You have to pause in between, otherwise you're going to burn your tongue, you're going to burn your throat. So do you measure Tok Kadesh Tias Revius of burning hot tea? So that's, you're drinking it without, you're not pausing at all. You're just pausing the way any normal person would pause, because the tea is burning hot. Or do you say, no, Tokadei Shtias Revius of room temperature tea. It's the same tea, but if it would have been room temperature, you would have been able to drink it in a much shorter amount of time. So that's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. And the machlekes Halacha L'maaseh, how to paskin. Some say, even if it's burning hot tea, but you drank it without any hafsoka at all, but you're sipping a tiny little bit at a time. You don't want to burn your tongue, so that's normal. So that's the Revius. Dokadesh Tias Revius. And others say, no, Dokadesh Tias Revius have the same Michael, but if it would have been room temperature, not if it would be burning hot. So you see that it all depends on this Michael. It's a Machloikens, even does it depend on the Michael the way it is in its present state, burning hot, or does it depend on the Michael if it would have been a little cooler? But you don't have a shir kavua that is 9 minutes for everything. That's the Minchas Chinuch Steiner against this Chasam Sefer. And those who like the Chasam Sefer, they thought to give a shir kavua by all machol. He says every machol is going to be a different amount of time. Okay, Belinetta, next week we'll continue. We left off in Resh Bei Beis.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Very good.
Also, good night.
Good night, everybody. We should all be healthy. Meet again next week.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you, Yashikov.
Welcome to you.
Okay. Everyone, don't forget Maariv and Sfiras HaOmer.